The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Man, it's like the Fight Club. Washington, D.C., we've got three fighters. Devin Nunez, Adam Schiff, and the FBI. All in a steel cage match. They've been trading punches and dropping bombs over the last 24 hours. You know, and everything rides on this memo. Why? Why does everything... Does anybody else have the feeling? Do you remember when George Bush said, we're going to release the full might and power of the U.S. military? It's happening Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Watch it! And we all watched it. We're like, that's the full power and might of our military? You remember that? Is it just me? What did they call that? It was a shock and awe.
Shock and awe, yeah.
Shock and
awe.
It's
a great phrase.
Right.
I mean, it really built you up to the beginning.
It did.
Of that.
And yeah. Then it was like, not that. Just, I have a feeling this is what this memo is going to be. It's been built up, and everybody's fighting over it. It's going to be like, yeah, he didn't do it. Wait, that's it?
It's got a post-it note.
Yeah, right. Look, it's right here. It's a post-it note. It said, definitely don't talk to FISA. That's what it said. Why do you... the document is got everybody hot and bothered and allegedly shows the abuses by the FBI and the DOJ, but we don't know. And it was written by the Republicans. The Democrats have their own. Ay, ay, ay. The FBI came out swinging yesterday saying they have, quote, grave concerns over the accuracy of some of the information in the memo. Oh, I wonder if you had those same grave concerns over the dossier. You know, did you put as much thought into the dossier as you did to the credibility of this memo? I'm just asking, FBI. What the FBI was saying yesterday, if I may translate, bullcrap into English.
Don't pay attention to this memo at all. We did nothing wrong.
Devin Nunez immediately threw back a counter combination saying, having stonewalled Congress demands for information for nearly a year, it's no surprise to see the FBI and DOJ issue spurious objections to allowing the American people to see information related to the surveillance abuses at these agencies. Boom! So basically, the FBI said,
don't believe the memo. We didn't do anything wrong. And I think they're maybe doing something wrong. I'm not sure. We're still looking into that.
And Nunez comes back and says, yeah, well, you just don't want people to know the truth.
For a while, all was quiet on the Western Front. The fighters seemed content. Then they began to circle the ring, looking at each other. And at 9 o'clock last night, Adam Schiff, with all of his credibility, came out of nowhere with a flying Superman punch. Boom! An official statement that he also tweeted, and as all official statements are, Schiff accused Nunez of showing an edited copy of the memo to the White House without consulting the rest of the committee. Oh, my gosh. So wait a minute. The committee approved the memo, and then Schiff went in because the first part of his name is Schiff. Hello? T.Y. Shifty. So Nunez goes in and he takes that memo and then he changes it. And the White House had no idea. So what does Nunez say? Nunez says, dude, I added some commas and dotted the I's, crossed a few T's. I fixed a few minor things, you know, that the FBI suggested. This is what our great republic has turned into. An official of the Trump administration has said the memo will likely be released sometime today. So we're either going to see the mother of all political bombs or, you know, something that's like, huh. And then we all move on. Whether this memo is partisan or not, it is by definition. Whether the Democrats are scared of political blowback, which they are, and whether the FBI is nervous about losing credibility, not much left to lose, guys. What we now need is full transparency on all sides.
So by all means, release the Nunez Moab, but also release the Democrats' rebuttal memo. And the FBI should do the same. Wouldn't it be refreshing to have actual transparency? I get the feeling that all of the political back and forth over this memo is nothing more than the trash talk that fighters do is, you know, 2 weeks when they're still trying to, you know, drum up ticket sales. The louder they are, the more they try to build up the hype, it usually reveals a really boring fight when it's all said and done. But we're all about to find out soon. White House says perhaps today.
It's Thursday, February 1st. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So we're confusing it all?
I'm doing a chalkboard on this today.
Oh, good.
I'm doing a chalkboard on this today because, I'm having a hard time following all of this. And so, I know there's people going, I don't really know. The memo thing, I thought I understood it. I don't know if I understand. Who are all these people? We're doing a chalkboard today so you can just... You can have an intelligent conversation with people on what the hell is going on.
One of the, I think, most interesting parts about this that people aren't talking about is Adam Schiff writes this note about that Devin Nunez altered the memo that was approved in the committee and then went to the president. And what that, it's hard to kind of explain this, but the big takeaway from that is if Adam Schiff was writing a memo, that was at least 30 seconds a minute that he wasn't on television, which has never before occurred.
That is, I never thought of it that way.
That I had to bring, yeah, unless he wrote the memo while good. He was on television, which I would not put past him.
Could have been that while he was at CNN, he said, I'll do some television here. Why don't you write something in this memo?
Right. It's possible he just signed it. I think if you look back at his recent CNN appearances, you may see his hands out of screen typing.
Yeah,
and that may have been the moment where he was doing the memo.
Yeah,
I've never seen a guy who is on television. I mean, you're a host,
and I'm on television.
And you're way less than Adam Schiff. This guy cannot be actually doing the job of a congressman.
Huh.
But it's so crazy because this memo has become such a big thing,
and it really is pretty meaningless.
It might be. We don't know what's in it.
Wait. Yes. We don't know what's in it, but it also is not the smoking gun. It might say, and there's a smoking gun over here, and we've all seen it, and it has big blacked out bars. And it also says big blacked out bars.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Could easily say that.
So it is something that describes, as much as they can for national security, describes something that someone, all Republicans, have seen. Well, okay, that's good. That's good testimony. May I cross-examine, Your Honor?
And the answer to that is, at this point, no. They don't want any cross-examination of
it.
I mean, if you think about this from the typical Law and Order episode, it's like you're seeing only one side of the case here.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, in Law and Order, whatever case you hear last is the one you believe. It's important to hear both of them, though.
I think the Republicans, the Republicans' point is, all we keep hearing on television is...
Totally.
And I totally agree with that.
And let's be...
I don't want to become them. I don't want to become them.
No, and look, I don't think necessarily it's bad that this gets released. Again, we don't know what's in it. I hope that there are adults making some sort of decision based on national security rather than their political futures. I'm not particularly optimistic about that on either side. But the idea that this is, it's not going to be a smoking gun. It should give us some information on the way that they're thinking about this. It's going to give you the Republican case here. You're going to be able to at least know where one side stands with some of their evidence. But again, Nunez hasn't seen the evidence. And the president can just declassify the underlying evidence if he wants to. Probably not a good idea for him to do that because...
No, especially... I mean, this is my biggest problem with this memo. It's not that it's, created by a committee of, politicians. My biggest problem is... If it is accurate, which, Nunez has credibility.
Yeah.
If it is accurate, does this hurt the investigation? I mean, don't do something for the short term for your you know, political ratings. Don't do it. Wait. If it is true, then wait for the investigation and make sure that you just keep picking. You know, real power comes from having information people don't know you have. That's where real power comes from.
Great point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do not play all of your cards. Don't play all of your cards. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe they think they're getting out in front of something. But I will say this, because we have the Democrats who are good at this, and Donald Trump who is good at this, which by like controlling the media cycle and kind of winning a hype cycle here. Republican Congress has actually done that here. I mean, this release the memo thing, whether you think there's something legitimate in there or not, it's obviously nonsense. The Republicans could vote to release it. Mm-hmm. The Republican president could vote to release it. When they were saying release the memo, who were they saying it to?
Themselves.
Nobody.
Themselves.
And the fact that they've been able to create hype around a partisan memo is pretty amazing. And well, it's worked well.
I will tell you this. We have become everything we've despised in many ways. We're playing the same game that they have always played. And it looks like it's working for us. So, is that a good thing?
I mean, no. Generally speaking, it's not a good thing. However, we shouldn't just because it's written by a Republican.
You shouldn't
and just because
it.
They put a fake sort of hype around it, which they did. They packaged it, right? Mm-hmm. They packaged this into this big thing. That doesn't mean that the information inside of it is faulty. It doesn't mean that the information inside of it isn't valuable. It very well might be. We just don't know yet.
I will tell you that, I mean, I'm going to be really, really disappointed if it's like, and the FBI is doing some bad stuff.
The buildup has been pretty significant.
It's been significant. But, and the pushback has been significant.
Yes.
Which, you know, if there wasn't anything in it, don't you think the Democrats would be like, release it, man?
Right. No, there's right. You think there's something probably in it.
Yeah, there's got to be.
And the FBI pushing back against it. I mean, that was made into a big deal yesterday. Is it rare for the FBI to make a public statement like that? Yeah, it is. But they're the ones being accused, essentially. So, you know, I'm not surprised the FBI would say, hey, you know, we don't think this is accurate. It's the rumor is, at least, that they're saying the FBI really screwed up. So I wouldn't be surprised that they're fighting back. But remember, the guy running the FBI now is not Comey. This is a guy that Donald Trump nominated and was passed, 98-2 mm-hmm. Through the Senate. Mm-hmm. So this is not a controversial figure. It's not a holdover from Obama. This is Trump's guy who is saying he thinks there's problems with the accuracy of this memo. Now, maybe he's just defending his guys in the FBI. You can make that argument, I guess. But he's always been known as a very credible guy. And it's why, think about this, a Donald Trump nominee sailed through the Senate. That's not common.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people like to push back against Trump. I mean, there's been people who have been incredible judges and nominees that he's had trouble getting through because he's Donald Trump. Ray, there was no problem with getting
Maybe him through. It's because maybe that's why.
Because he was deep state the whole time.
No. It's what they want you to think. But sometimes they want you to think the opposite. I'm only whispering because they can't hear me when I whisper. Because they're listening everywhere.
Glenn Beck.
There's a couple of cool science stories. One is, have you heard about the big void in the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza?
Yes, I've heard of it.
All right, so there's the Grand Gallery, which is you can, you know, walk through this Grand Gallery that goes up to, I don't even know, I think it's the burial chamber or whatever the hell it is. And right above it is this, what they're calling a big void. It's this gigantic room in the middle of the pyramid that they didn't know was there, and they've only found it through new techniques of being able to scan the pyramid, and they can see this huge void, but they don't know what it is. And it's at an angle. It appears to be at an angle, which would mean it's another great gallery, another staircase which would lead you into yet another void, which might be something else that we don't know what is in there. There's two of these rooms. They would, you know, to find it, you'd have to take the pyramid apart. Here comes cool science. They're taking a blimp, a little blimp, and they're rolling it up. They're taking a teeny digital camera, high definition camera, and a teeny, teeny light, and then a blimp, and they're wrapping it around like a pole. They're going to drill a hole up into the ground, into the void. They're going to shove that blimp up, fill it with helium, and then it will take off. The light will go on, and it will survey this whole thing with high definition camera. So we don't ever have to go into it. You'll be able to see what's in it.
Plus, whatever's in there can't escape, because that's right, the more important
right,
thing.
Right.
Unless, of course, it can
a teeny little
sneak out of a little drill hole.
Or it might have, you know, maybe what's left in there is a little teeny blimp pilot.
That would be terrible. That's the last thing you'd want in there would be a tiny blimp pilot.
Just waiting.
For some idiot culture to stick a blimp up there.
He's been walking around for like 5,000 years going, nobody's this stupid. Like there's a blimp going to show up all of a sudden.
The worst thing would be torture, because he would be able to fly the blimp, but there'd be no hole big enough
to get
for him to get it out. So
he'd just be
pilot.
He'll be bumping up against the side. I'm going to ram it really hard this time. All right. So
probably wouldn't work.
Probably wouldn't. But we'll see him. We'll see him. He'd be like a little Keebler elf.
We all know what's going to be inside there, right? Which is nothing. There's going to be a giant bunch of nothing in there, because whatever's
maybe
been there.
Maybe we could put Geraldo Rivera in there for some other culture to find.
It's just a collection of Geraldo Rivera selfies with his shirt off at 70. What if we find out he's not 70 and he's like 5,700?
He escaped from a little drill hole in the other pyramid. There's also this, the shield that protects the Earth from solar radiation is under attack from within. We can't prevent it, but we should prepare. This is, the sub headline that is coming from, scientists all around the world. They are saying that, you know, every 200,000 or 300,000 years, the poles shift, it's a polar shift, and north becomes south, south becomes north, and it flips. When that happens, some people say that's where the continents all broke apart at one point. But it happens about every 300,000 years. Well, it's been 780,000 years since that has happened, so we're well overdue. Scientists are now saying that polar shift is beginning to happen. And if it does, with solar winds and everything else, we could be out of all power worldwide for several months. Panic, everybody. No, don't. Just recycle. Just recycle.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So in your discussions of the nuclear freeze proposals, I urge you to beware the temptation of pride, the temptation of blithely declaring yourselves above it all and label both sides equally at fault, to ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding, and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong and good and evil.
Is wrong. That was the Evil Empire speech by Ronald Reagan. I remember it. I remember it clearly because I was working in Washington, D.C. at the time at WPGC. And I remember seeing the top of the Washington Monument, the blinking light, and thinking, I think I'm in the blast zone. I'm 19 years old. I'm waiting for the teletype every time the bells ring. It's an old news thing, but the teletype would deliver our news, and it would have up to 12 bells, and 12 bells meant war. And I remember waiting, counting the bells, because I really thought we were going to war. Ronald Reagan was a master at playing the communists. And perhaps Donald Trump is the same. I hope he is. Because what I heard in the State of the Union address, and we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, was a little frightening. Because we are dealing with something that we haven't seen in our lifetime. If there is war, it will not be like the war is now. My daughter Mary and I were watching the State of the Union, and I heard this whole layout of North Korea, and I said, I think we're being prepared for war. And my daughter said, well, Dad, we're already at war. Not like this. This is entirely different. This is a million dead, perhaps in the first opening hours. Now, I'm hoping that everything that is going on right now is positioning. I've always wanted a president with a twitchy eye. Not a twitchy eye internally, just a twitchy eye for our adversaries. You know, when he says, yeah, I've got my nuke buttons bigger than yours, I want them to go, holy cow, he's just crazy enough. He just might do it. That's the best kind of thing you can have. A stable leader that has convinced everybody, yeah, I'm not afraid of it. Because then they know they don't have any power. And if they're bluffing, you win. It's what happened with the Soviet Union. Is this the same with Kim Jong-un? I'm not sure. Now, there's some things that I want to point out that I think show that this is a masterful bluff on the part of the Trump administration. There is a story that came out. Let me look here. When did this come out? A couple of weeks ago. And it came out on a website called the Aviationist. And the Aviationist was reporting that they heard unusual activity in the skies of Missouri. And B-2 bombers were practicing a bombing run. And one of the guys who apparently has, you know, some credibility said, I heard the bombing run and I recorded it. And he said, I missed the part where they were talking about the North Korean leadership. He said, but that's what they were saying on an open channel with the B-2 bombers. Here's a bit of the bombing run as recorded by the Aviationist just a few weeks ago, bombing run that sounds like it's a trial run on North Korea. Listen.
Matched weapon with 15 millisecond fusing. Target is command post. Directed time sensitive target past earliest TOT for both. Building is a 60 by 70. Coordinates are centroid. That's correct. With the bat 7-1, you have that tasking. Mojo, bat 7-1. We were unsuccessful. Dippy ID, Alpha, November, Papa, Sierra, 0-1. We will be retargeting NDT.
Okay, so they were doing a mock run on a command post. The guy who recorded this said, I just missed when they were talking about the North Korean post. Now, this is spooking a lot of people. But if you're in the military, you ever flew for the military, and I know because I have military pilots on staff, so I know this stuff. There's something wrong here. And what's wrong is this was recorded on a civilian UHF AM band. Well, the military doesn't use that. if the military was using that, they were using that for a reason. There are two boxes in the cabin of a flight deck, and there is the civilian band, and that is the band that you can listen to where the pilots are all talking to each other, and you're hearing all pilots in the sky, and you're hearing ground control talk to everybody, and you have to wait, and you're just listening your whole time for your tail number, and you pop in when there's quiet, and you talk to the tower. That is a crowded band as it is. And you know all the time that there's somebody approaching because you're able to hear the approach. You're able to hear the pilot talk to the tower or control, ground control. And so you know everybody where everybody is. Well, I could have fighters on the back of a plane. And if they're cloaked, I'm not seeing them. If they're not showing up on my radar, I'm not seeing them, and I'm not hearing them, because in a military plane, there's another box on top, and all of the military stuff is encoded and secure, and only the military is communicating with the military. No one can hear what they're saying. And if they want to communicate, if they're coming up on the back of a commercial airliner and they're saying, there's trouble, and, a terrorist has control, they pop down off of their band into the civilian band and they say, American Airlines 23, this is the U.S. Air Force. We are on your tail. Land.
So there's no chance of them pressing the wrong button or having the dial on the wrong.
They're
two separate things.
They're completely separate boxes. So for this to pop down onto a UHF AM band is intentional.
So the thought is, if I'm reading you right here, thought is that they intentionally got this out there so that word would get to North Korea that they're serious. Potentially.
Maybe. Potentially.
Potentially.
But I'm sure North Korea has the same situation. They're not communicating on a civilian band. I don't know. But this is not an error. There's just no way this is an error. You just don't make that error.
Could it be, a civilian impersonating a military exercise?
Maybe. But from what I understand, the military did confirm that there were runs over Missouri at this time. So maybe somebody's doing that. But
of course, this aviation expert would probably know that.
I only bring this up because we have to watch what's happening in North Korea, and there is an awful lot of posturing, and it may be real, it may not be, but I just want to keep an eye on North Korea and what's happening with North Korea, because it's much more serious than anything else. You have to mentally prepare that war with North Korea is not anything like the wars that we have seen, even Vietnam. This is a war that will happen quickly. Lots of people will die quickly. Our air superiority is not going to be like it was over Baghdad. These are people that have prepared for war against the United States, against us, for 50 years. Their surface-to-air missile defenses, we have never come across anything like this. And I'm not saying that we're not going to, we wouldn't dominate, but it will take time. As we're carving out a path through their air defenses, they are starting to shell Seoul. And if they start to shell Seoul, we're not going to be able to do it, because our air defenses are elsewhere. In the end, we're victorious. But what does victory look like at the end, especially if Kim Jong-un is nuts and knows I'm dead anyway? Does he push a button that launches ICBMs, and can we knock every one of them out of the sky? Or does one hit Seoul? Does one hit Japan? Does one hit us? What does one nuclear device that we couldn't knock down. What does that mean?
We're all going to be praying that the magnetic shield just reverses.
I just want you to know that we're watching it so you don't have to, but we're not dismissing it. And I think it's important that you keep that in the back of your head, that this is real.
Well, it's also, I would say, a very subtle and only potential indication that there's real strategy going on right now, and that our country wants to send a message, but also wants to avoid war if it's possible. We're not rushing into it.
There is not a military mind. The one thing that I think that Donald Trump does do, he listens and respects the voices of at the Pentagon. When it comes to war, I just don't think he's like, you know what, you guys get away. Let me draw this out.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think he's doing that. He has always respected the military minds. Yeah. He loves these guys.
His generals. He talks about them highly all the time.
All the time. And he has good generals around him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a single military man that says, oh yeah, war with North Korea, that's a cakewalk. We should do that. There's no one that I know that says that. Every single military man that I know says that's a nightmare. We'd win in the end, but that is an absolute nightmare.
You talked about this last night on the TV show as the old New Coke and Coke Classic.
Yeah.
And New War and War Classic. Unlike Coke, you don't want the classic version.
You do not.
There's unfortunately...
No, you don't.
No.
No.
The New War is frustrating, right? Because we don't make the progress we should, and we don't treat it seriously at times, and we make too many crazy lines
we're at war, and we don't even know it because we're not really feeling it.
Right. On the other side,
yeah,
a lot of these old wars cost millions and millions of lives.
Yeah, and you really, really felt it.
Yeah.
That's the one where you say to the Coca-Cola company, I like New War. I like that one. Tastes like Pepsi. You bet. I'll take it.
Everybody needs to clean their ears. It's not something that we necessarily want to talk about, but it's something that absolutely needs to be done. So if you're going to have to do it, why not use a product that's designed for cleaning the inside of your ears? Q-tips aren't. Look at the box. It doesn't even recommend that you use them for cleaning the inside of your ears. It's kind of crazy. It's something that everybody seems to do, but why not use something that's actually designed for the goal you're trying to accomplish? WaxRx. The WaxRx system is the method physicians trust the most, and it's just like the system they use in their offices. They use this special wax softening drops to break down earwax inside the ear, and it's got a pump that's fitted with a unique tip to gently deliver the perfect amount of cleansing pressure to flush the wax away. Go to usewaxrx.com to order your reusable ear wash system today. Use the offer code RADIO to have it shipped free right to your door. It's usewaxrx.com. The promo code is radio. Usewaxrx.com.
Glenn Beck.
This is about as much as I like sports. Stu is gone tomorrow. He's on his way to the Super Bowl, and he's wearing an Eagles sweater, and he's got a little white spot on it.
Yeah, that's true.
With paint, this is the reason why I like football and sports, and I've always liked the NFL because they always fostered this. Is that your sweater?
No, it is not. It's my grandfather's sweater. He passed away fairly recently. But this was his sweater from back in the day. And part of me thinks that this is the reason I like the Eagles. I don't have any idea why I like the Eagles, actually. But he used to wear this sweater all the time. And it's an old school sweater. I don't know if it's officially licensed merchandise either. It doesn't seem to be.
It's not the Eagles. The sweater maker was like, no, not those Eagles. This is the bird. Like, yeah, we just really like Eagles.
It's funny, but he had a bunch of these different teams. And as a huge sports fan, I can't imagine wearing different team shirts all the time, but that's what my grandpa did. Yeah.
Go Patriots.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.